Your Bibles go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. I think all the kids are really enjoying the Bible club, so I appreciate the parents that are trying to make sure the kids are here for that. And I know they're having a good time with it, and they got those sashes and learning the verses. And tonight, Elijah was telling me how excited he was about that, their club, and how much they enjoy it. And they enjoy it so much, he asked me tonight, he said, "Daddy, can you please ask Brother Bill Grady to join our church?" Now, he didn't tell me anything about Bible Club. He just came up to me and said, "Will you ask Brother Bill Grady to join our church?" I said, "Man, that would be neat to have him a member of our church." I said, "Why is that, buddy?" He's like, "Well, I want you to ask him to join our church, and I want you to ask him to preach every Wednesday so we can have more time in Bible Club." That's what he asked me tonight. And then somebody piped up and said, "Yeah, you don't preach long enough." And then somebody else, and I won't mention any names, say, "But you don't have to do that on Sundays." So, all right, it was Brother Bobby. He just answered. No, I'm just joking. But he cracked me up. So, but I hate to disappoint him tonight, but I don't have a real long message, and we have a lot to do after church. But I do appreciate y'all coming. I'm continuing tonight on the home, and we've been dealing with the wives and submission to their husbands. And last week, the last couple of times we actually had the lesson, I know it's been a while before last week, but we dealt with a wife submitting to a backslidden husband. And so we went through and looked at that. And it boils down to you just do right. I mean, you just do right before the Lord. He said, "What if he asked me to do something?" We looked at Abraham asking Sarah to lie about something, and she said, "Hey, this is on you." And she just obeyed, and God took care of her. And I know that's not a popular thinking, and but that's exactly what happened, and God blessed her and took care of her. But I want to look tonight on some examples of an unsubmissive wife. There's several examples in the Bible where someone was not submissive, or they asserted themselves or took themselves out of their role and put themselves into another role, and how God dealt with them. If you do not submit to your husband, you have to give an account for all your actions going forward. If you submit to your husband, it's all on him. We talked about the umbrella effect that God put in place. And so if you submit to your husband, it's like Sarah said, "Hey, I'll do it, but this is on you." And guess what, husband? Even if you let her go out of place and let her make decisions, and you listen to her without checking with God, it's still on you. Because you're married to her, you're still going to give an account. And we saw that example last week with Sarah as well. And so we looked at all the examples of Sarah and her husband, Abraham. And she was a godly example. We saw where she made a mistake when it came to Hagar. And that's one of the illustrations I have tonight, but we're not going to look at it in detail for sake of time. But she's there, but she's listed over in 1 Peter as an example to all other women. Because she called Abraham Lord, she obeyed him, she submitted to him. And even when it wasn't exactly the right thing, but she had the right heart about it. And she said, "Hey, this is on you, but I'm going to obey because this is what God's told me to do." All right. So there are numerous scriptures in the Bible about living with an unsubmissive or mouthy woman. You say, "Where are they?" Go read the book of Proverbs. It's all through Proverbs. I mean, there's probably one in every chapter at least. Obviously Solomon, which he would know. I mean, he had so many wives and concubines. He would know exactly what he's talking about. But he wrote a lot about it, and about a woman that's out of place and how dangerous that can be in a home. I mean, there's a lot of examples given. We're not going to look at them tonight. You can go look them up. But there's a lot of examples of a lady or a woman that's out of place in her home, and you know, mouthy, opinionated, whatever you want to say it, and what kind of pain that can cause to a home. All right? Now, you go look those up. We're not going to look them up for sake of time. But I want to look at some examples of women in the Bible that were out of place. They were out of line. Everybody's got a role. And we've already talked about the men. If you want to go back, a lot of that's recorded. You can go back and listen to it. But we're on the women now. So there's examples of them being not submissive and out of place And every time that happened, there wasn't a direct result on her. I mean, there was something she had to deal with. Instead of her husband dealing with it, like with Sarah and Abraham, when she said, "I'm his sister," because he told her to lie, everything came on Abraham. Nothing came on her. But these are examples of women that stepped out of line. Well, now God had to deal with him and her. All right? Instead of having that umbrella. And so let's just quickly go through a handful of these examples. Some of these women were not submissive. Some of them were out of place. And then there were some that were submissive, but they were submissive for the wrong reasons. There's a couple examples in here where a husband said, "Hey, you know, let's say for an example, I tell Sarah, hey, let's go rob a bank." And she's like, "Oh, yeah, I'd like some more diamond rings and stuff. Let's go." Okay, well, she's submitting to me, but she's all in. There's two examples in the Bible of that. I mean, she's like, "Yeah, let's go." Whereas it's like, "I don't think that's a good idea." But I said, "No, we're going." She's like, "All right, well, when God strikes you, let me move out of the way." You know, but instead she's like, "No, I'm all for it." You know, I've had wives tell me before, you know, their husband might drink or something. And, you know, she's like, "Well, my husband brought it home." And yeah, but you didn't have to enjoy every drop of it. Amen. It's about your heart towards God. And there's two examples of that in Scripture where they're like, "Yeah, I'm submitting to my husband." Why? Because he's letting me do something I want to do that's against God's word. There's difference there. It's your heart towards God. All right. So here's one. And I'm going to kind of give you some of these stories and not read through all of them. And I hate to disappoint Elijah, but I'm not going to go 2 hours. All right. Genesis chapter 3. We find here the story of Adam and Eve. And this is one definitely not to spend a lot of time on because we spent a lot of time preaching on this. But you have the very first woman in the Bible, Eve. I mean, right off the start, you have the very first woman in the Bible, Eve. And God gave the instruction to Adam as far as what was to be done with that, with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." You notice that Satan did not start off with Adam. He went straight to Eve. All right? He went straight to her to try to beguile her, as we read about later on in Scripture. Verse number 2, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the tree of the fruits of the garden, but of the tree in the midst," and you read down through there, verse 5, he tells them, "You're going to be as gods, knowing good and evil." Verse number 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and asked her husband," hey, do you think we ought to eat this? No, she just ate it and then gave it to her husband, and he said, "Well, I'll do it too." Okay? So right off the bat, you have an example of her making a decision that was out of line for what God would have for them to do. And you say, what was the result for that? It was the fall of all mankind. I mean, right here off the bat. And Adam is just as much to blame as Eve. I mean, he was wrong for what he did. But they both received punishment from God. They both received discipline from God. He went down the list. He said, Satan, Adam, Eve, the ground. We're going to curse the ground. All those things. Women in childbearing, there'll be sorrow. And went through the list there. Okay, so Eve. Now, if that was Adam that took the fruit and gave it to his wife and said, "Eat this," and she submitted to him and, you know, she said, "Hey, this is between you and God," you know, it might have been that women didn't have any kind of curse brought on them. But he specifically said, and we're not going to look at all the verses because we've preached this to death, but specifically said, "Because of what you did, Eve." He dealt with her husband and said, "Now I'm going to deal with you." So he said, "What are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say, if you can't submit to your husband and even when you don't feel like he's doing right, God's going to deal with you because of that. You'll have to give an account for yourself. And I know that's hard to swallow. But just trust God. He'll take care of you. Amen. And like I said, if you can't submit to him, I've said this before, just pray that God kills him. And let him hear that every now and again. Sometimes that'll get you straightened out. Some of them's laughing, some of them's not. some of them's like, man, I've been praying that for a couple of years now. You must not be right with God because He's not answering it. If you're both praying it, I don't know what's going to happen. All right, so Genesis chapter 16. Don't turn there, but that's Sarah. I have that in my illustrations here, but it's Sarah with Hagar. We just talked about it last week. I'm not going to go over it again. You say, what was the result of that, Muslims? That was the result of Sarah's decision and Abraham obeying. And Sarah was very hurt. You go back and read the story. She was very hurt about what happened. And she looked at Abraham and said, my wrong be on thee. You know, why did you let me do this? So she's hurting because of it. He's hurting because of it. Now the whole world's hurting because of it. All right, go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. I gave you biblical examples, our biblical example in Sarah. And there's more. We've preached about the Proverbs 31 woman before. In this, and man, she is probably the greatest example in the scriptures of what a wife ought to strive to be like, the Proverbs 31 woman. All right, but there's other good godly examples in the Bible, and let me say this: none of them were perfect. There were no perfect preachers in the Bible except for Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? People make mistakes. And I want to say this too, if not just for the sake of the recording, God never instructs anywhere in the Bible for a husband to tell his wife to submit. That's not in there. God tells you to, and it's in the Scripture, but God doesn't tell you to tell her you have to submit. And God doesn't tell you, wife, to tell him, you have to love me. Amen? Now, those are obvious things, right? But God didn't tell you to do that. It's not your job to take the sword and cut your wife. Amen? She's your helpmeet. And so, it's not you to say, hey, you have to submit. You want God to do that to you? He will, and it won't feel as good. The Bible's a two-edged sword. Be careful with it. You'll cut your family. With, you know, and the tongue also set on course hell, the fire of hell. The Bible's a two-edged sword. So it doesn't say anywhere near your husbands, make sure your wife submit. That's between them and God. Right? And then the husbands to love their wife. Yeah, those are things you're supposed to do, right? But if you go around all day long saying, hey, you have to submit to me, you have to submit to me, or you have to love me, you have to love me, you're just taking the sword of the Spirit, and the Bible, you're just cutting them and cutting them and cutting them. And I don't know any situations where that helps anything. Usually it makes it worse because people are prideful and they don't want to be told what they have to do. All right? I don't know. That wasn't even in my message. It was free. All right? 2 Samuel chapter number 6. It bothers me when I hear, and it's more times it's husbands towards their wives than the other way around, where he just goes around saying, you have to submit, you have to submit. I mean, you might as well just take your knife out and just keep stabbing her. That's not going to heal or fix anything. You say, what do I do? Try praying for her. You know what you ought to do? You ought to love her and pray for her. Don't walk around saying submit, submit. You love her. Love her into submission. Pray for her into submission. If you make her do it, it's not submission, it's surrender. There's a difference. The word surrender is not a Bible word. We're supposed to submit. Submission is willingly. I'm willing to do this because I love you and I want to honor God. To surrender means I'm giving up. Amen. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 6. I don't know how many husbands have bruised ribs after church on Wednesday nights, but hopefully not too many. It's a bad time to clear your throat. 2 Samuel chapter number 6. 16, sorry, 16. No, 6. I'm sorry. 2 Samuel chapter 6. At least you didn't get an electronic elbow like somebody did last week. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse number 15. So this is the story of David. David goes and gets the ark and brings it back to Jerusalem, brings it back. All right, so David's excited. I mean, all the house of Israel is excited. The ark is back where it belongs. Okay? Verse number 15, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. I mean, they're rejoicing. And as the ark, verse 16, of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, which is David's wife, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she what? Despised him in her heart. This is his wife. She looked out there, what's he dancing for? I mean, the ark just came home. He had reason to praise God. He had reason to rejoice and praise God. You want to go to church again? Why are you shouting in church? Why are you reading your Bible? I hope nobody's women say that, but I mean, that's what she was doing. She despised him. Well, why is he doing that? All right. Now, skip down here to verse number 20. So David's got the ark back. He's done dancing and praising God. Notice, she was peeking out a window looking. He is with himself, by himself, trying to praise and worship God for what God had just done. If you were the king of Israel and you lost the ark and God gave you victory to bring it back, you would get in a quiet place and shout and praise God too. I mean, the ark was back. And if you don't know the significance of that, man, just really pay attention when you're reading through your Bible here. Then David returned to verse 20 to bless his household. I mean, talk about putting out somebody's fire. David's coming back after this great, and he's like, I'm going to go home and bless my household, man. We're all going to praise and worship God. And he walks in the door to an angry, mouthy woman whose heart's not right. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. Why'd she say all that? Because up there earlier it says she was despised, that she despised him in her heart. Look up the definition to despising somebody. You know how many wives there are today, and this goes both ways, but we're talking about the women that despise their husbands. They can't stand to listen to them. They can't stand to look at them. I mean, society as a whole, our homes are in trouble. And Michal, she despised her husband. So he comes home, he's on fire for God, and walks in the door to bam, just. I can't believe you were out there doing that for all those people. Well, David didn't do it for any of those people. The Bible up here said he was just before the Lord. I mean, as far as I know, there was nobody watching him except for her, and she was peeking through a window. So David got himself in a position where it was him and the Lord, and he danced before the Lord. And he's praising God for the victory. And you said, what kind of dance was that? I don't know. Have you ever cut a jig in your room when you found out you, like in your living room, when you found out you had more money that you didn't know you had, or you got a check in the mail, or yeah, maybe you skipped a step when you were walking trying to tell your wife about it. You were excited. That's what David's excited here. Verse number 21, and David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord. I was just doing this for God, man. I came home to tell my family we brought the ark back. God, the ark of God is back in Jerusalem. Man, we ought to be praising and shouting God. Praising Him and rejoicing. And as soon as He walks in, she starts in on Him. you say, well, what happened? She's out of line. She's out of line. And so what happened to her? Look at verse 23. Therefore, Michelle, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. You know what happened to her? God didn't have to deal with David. He dealt with her because she took herself out from the umbrella of David, and the Lord shut up her womb for the rest of her life. And that was a big deal to the Jewish women not to have children. Shut up her womb. All right. The most famous of all the women in the Bible that are wrong, 1 Kings 21, Jezebel. Now, her husband is as equally an example of what kind of husband not to be. All right, 1 Kings chapter number 21. After this one, I just have two more, and then we'll be done. I'm not against ladies and against women. Amen. I'm for just pleasing the Lord. And everybody's got a place. Nobody's greater than anybody. I'm not any better than my wife. Matter of fact, she's a better person than I am. My wife's a better person than me. She's smarter than me. And, you know, she's not sitting here, so it's not like I'm saying that trying to get brownie points, which I need them today because I did something boneheaded. Don't aggravate a pregnant woman. But she is. She's a better person than me. I'm no better, but we both have our place. And whether we like it or not, that's how God laid it out. And I have a greater responsibility on me than she does. 1 Kings chapter 21, this is the story of Jezebel. Now, if you go back a few chapters, Jezebel's having all the preachers killed. The woman, not Ahab, Jezebel slew, had these prophets slew. I mean, go back and read it. It was Jezebel that had it done. She did not like the preacher. She is a physical illustration of a lot of churches today. Can't tell you how many families have left our church because she wasn't happy about the preacher and the preaching. I mean, they're gone. They're not here no more. You said, what did the husbands do? Just like Ahab. And went to drinking. I mean, what else are you going to do? First Kings 21. This is the story of Naboth and his vineyard. All right. Again, we're not going to read it all for the sake of time, but Naboth had a vineyard that Ahab wanted. Now, Ahab went to Naboth and said, hey, I want your vineyard. And Naboth said, no. The Lord gave me this. I'll give you another one. But this one, no. So Ahab said, okay. He said no and went home. Well, he gets home and his wife said, why are you sad? You need food? You know, that's what most men, you know, why are you sad? What's for dinner? And so she assumed he wanted food, right? And so asked him that, and he said, no, I wanted that vineyard, and he wouldn't give it to me. And she goes, oh, that's it? I mean, that's your problem? I had all these preachers killed. I can get you that vineyard. And that's exactly what she did. And he said, okay. He was the most submissive man probably in all of the scriptures towards anybody, somebody other than God, was Ahab. He was very submissive to his wife. And so he said that. And you read on, look at verse number 14. So she sent letters, verse number 8, she sent letters in her husband's name, saying to have this guy killed and take the land. All right, she's way out of line, which Jezebel's got a lot of problems. We're just looking at a couple examples. So she has this done. So they did that. In verse 14, they came back. They sent to Jezebel this message: Naboth is stoned and is dead. Carried out. We did exactly what you asked us to do. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that both was stoned, or that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, "Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead." She fixed the problem for him. Say, what happened to her? She was out of line. Ooh, she had something really, really bad happen to her that no person would ever want to happen to them. God said that because of what you did, look at verse number 23. The Lord's mad about this, and He judges Ahab. Remember I told you about Adam and Eve? He judges Adam because of what happened, and then He judges Eve because of what happened, because she took herself out from under the umbrella. He judges Ahab because of what his wife did. You can read those verses right before this one. And verse 23, of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, "The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel." Because of what you did, the dogs are going to eat you. And you say, what happened? Did she get right with God? No, she went on to just be extremely wicked. I mean, she was into Baal worship. She was into all these false gods. Look at 2 Kings chapter 9. You said, did that happen? 2 Kings chapter 9. Two things happened to Jezebel. One was she got eaten up by a bunch of dogs because of what she did. God judged her. Here, chapter 9, verse 36 and 37. "Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, 'This is the word of the Lord which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, In the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, This is Jezebel.'" That's an awful way to go. How would you like to finish out that way, ladies? You know how many ladies today, I preach to some of them, even at Teen Challenge, man, they're in their 30s and 40s, but they've lived a sinful, rough life, and they look like they're in their 50s or 60s. That was Jezebel. She had a rough life when she could have had a good life if she just obeyed God. And the second thing about Jezebel here is Sarah was used as a good example. Look over in Revelation chapter 2. When the seven churches are being addressed, Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. All right, this is the church of in Thyatira. Verse number 20. "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman," who? Jezebel, "which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed unto idols." Now, this is prophetic about some other things we're not going to get into right now, but Jezebel gets brought up again. I mean, she's a horrible example. All right, last two. Go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, this is King Herod. And John the Baptist had been preaching to Herod and to his wife Herodias, which was his brother's wife, and his brother had died. So I don't know about marrying somebody that's got a name so close to you, Herod and Herodias. She might have been named after him. I don't know. Who knows? Herodias. But so they're here in verse number 17. They're recounting what happened to John the Baptist. Okay, and so we're gonna read what happened. John preached to them that it was not right that he took his brother's sister. Okay? And if you just read in Leviticus, there's a law about that stuff God talked about. All right? So he told him it's not right for him to do that. And verse number 17, for Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake. So what does that mean? That's his wife. His wife was mad about what the preacher was preaching, so Herod had him arrested. I mean, how many times has husbands got to go do their wife's dirty work? Their wife is mad, and she tells him, go fix it. And he just scurries off and goes and fixes it. So she has him arrested. Okay? Now, I'm talking about wicked women trying to do wicked things. I'm not talking about a husband and wife working together for God. All right? If you got the bad heart about something, don't, you know, get it right. Don't include your husband in the sin. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him up. Verse 18, for John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. He's preaching to him. And she gets mad. She's mad about it. Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him. Who? John the preacher. And she would have had him killed, but she could not. I mean, Herod locked him up and said, maybe he'll be safer in prison. Okay, she couldn't get to him. Verse 20, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. So Herod said, hey, I like the preacher. But she doesn't. She's mad about it. Okay? And verse number 21, and when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, his captains, and chief estates of Galilee, and when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it to thee. So now she has included her daughter in her sin. Whenever you're not doing right, your family always goes down with it. And wives, your children are affected every single time. And that's what happened here. And so they came and danced before me and said, I'll give you whatever you want. And they asked for the head of John the Baptist, verse number 24. And they went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? This is the daughter. Mom, what should I ask for? He said, I can have whatever I want. She said, I want the head of the preacher. I want the head of John the Baptist. And that's exactly what happened. The king, verse number 26, said he was exceeding sorry. But verse number 26, and the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes, which sat with him, he would not, what? Reject her. He could not tell her no. And immediately after that, they sent the executioner and they cut his head off. You say, what happened to her? Scripture doesn't tell us what happened to her, but history, and again, this didn't come from the Bible, but history tells us that she ended up being banned for life. Her and her husband both were sent to exile by another king that came up. They sent them to exile for the rest of their life. But she also had to live with the death of the preacher on her conscience. Earlier in that chapter, John the Baptist is, or Jesus is preaching, and Herod's like, oh man, I think John came back from the dead. I knew we shouldn't have cut his head off. They deal with these problems. All right, the very last one. Now, I told you there were some examples in Scripture of a husband and wife both doing wrong together. The first one was Ahab and Jezebel. They were both wrong together. Okay? Here's the second one. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. I had a preacher ask me this one time. He said, well, if God blessed Sarah for telling the lie because she was submitting to her husband and trusting God, then why did he kill Sapphira, Ananias and Sapphira? And the answer is, she was in it with them. Their heart was both wrong with God. They were both wrong with God. All right? If you read back in the previous scripture, it tells us that these folks were bringing money and laying it at the apostles' feet. They were selling land and bringing it to them for an offering. in verse number, chapter 5, verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. Okay? Here's the key. His wife also being privy part, or privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So what does that mean? She was in on it. That's the whole bank robbery story over again. I'm going to go rob a bank. Okay, that sounds good. I could buy this, this, and this. Not, I don't think we ought to do that. We made God a promise. Well, I'm doing it. It's between you and the Lord. That's not what happened here. She goes, yeah, I'm with it. We can save some money back. We need money for this or whatever the case might be. So they made a promise that they would give a certain amount, that they would bring the money, but they kept some back. But Peter saying to Ananias, because Ananias came in first, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? You see, what he was saying was, you didn't have to promise to give all the money. You could have just said, I'm going to sell the land and I'm going to give you 80% and I'm keeping 20. But they said, we're going to give it all. They were trying to act super spiritual because everybody else was doing it. Verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And I imagine if we're taking up an offering and somebody falls over dead and says he lied to the Holy Spirit about what he was given, all the pockets in the church will be empty. I mean, that's conviction right there. Amen. All right, so verse 6, they wound them up and took them out. Let me see here. Yeah, 3 hours later, verse number 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours that when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter said, hey, we're going to find out. We're going to find out right now what's going on here. And he says to her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. He said, tell me right now. Now you say, well, she was just obeying her husband. Well, the problem is, the difference is, they were both wrong. You see what I'm saying? I fully believe if she would have been right with God and she would have said, hey, I don't think this is a good idea, but I'll do whatever you tell me. And even if you tell me to lie to the preacher, and I know, you know, people are going to think funny about this, but if he told her to do that, God will take care of him. And if she would have went in and she said, hey, this is what we did, but she's thinking the whole time, God, I'm sorry for doing this, but you know, he told me to do it. That she probably would have walked out of the church that day. And God would have said, I understand he's a bonehead. I'll take care of him. And why? Because I have other examples in scriptures where God did that. He protected her and he dealt with him. But when they're in it together and they're both wrong with God, then they both die.